The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Well, terrible news today. Gary Halpin has passed away at the age of just 55. Irish international, a debut back in 1990, played at two World Cups. There was the famous try and the even more famous celebration against New Zealand in 95. His club career included a great stint at London Irish, 7 years there. He was the club's first captain in the professional era. He moved on to Harlequins and finished up at Leinster. He represented Ireland as well at the Hammer. He was at the 1987 World Championships, no less, and the news which has come through over the last 24 hours has been greeted just with a sense of shock and great sadness. And to give you a sense of Gary Halpin, he was at a roadshow with us in 2018, and he was holding court as only he could in many ways, and we'll pick it up here. We've been playing him a video of that try against New Zealand in 95, and obviously his very famous celebration, and, well, he took it away.
Look into my eyes.
You see the way my hair was flowing as I went over the try. The most amazing thing about that try, first of all, is the fact I caught it. Remember, yeah?
Absolutely.
And you see what
we've been practicing that for about 2 years.
But what people don't understand, like in that game, Lomu was there. I sidestepped Lomu three times during the course of that game, and that's true. The only problem was he was the one carrying the ball at that stage. But the one thing I realised, because, you know, when you're in rugby, over here it's very easy to appreciate rivalries. But, you know, everybody got that big rivalry against the English, and it works so much. Irish teams get an extra 10-15% into dressing rooms, but you can't believe how much the South Africans hate the New Zealanders, right? And after that summer, after that World Cup, I took a trip around South Africa and Zimbabwe. And I couldn't go into a pub and put my hand into my pocket because South Africans, I must have put on about two stone in the summer after that, because the South Africans absolutely love that whole thing, you know. So, I mean, what Andy Warhol said, everybody's what, 15 seconds of fame? There you go. That was mine. So it was fun.
You still haven't explained why you did it, though. Why did you give...
Was that aimed at
New Zealand supporters?
It's Sean Fitzpatrick. Every time I see him, I still want to give him the finger. You know what I mean? I find him... You know, he's a great player and all that.
Tonight's a prize guest.
There you are. Gary Halpin, Nathan Murphy asking the questions, and alongside him was Mick Galway that evening. Mick, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Joe.
And Nick Popwell with us as well. Hiya, Nick.
Hiya, Joe.
So, Mick, I dare say 3 years ago you didn't expect we'd be having this conversation. Shocking news.
Shocking news. Absolutely shocking news. And, it's just unbelievable. Like, these are tough old times for everybody. But then, you know, you hear of somebody who you were in the trenches with, and, you know, you shared great times with him. And particularly, I suppose, with Gary, you know, it wasn't all about what we won. It was the crack we had, and it was the fun we had, and the camaraderie. And yeah, I was there that night, Lone Dolphin, and just to give you an idea of the fella, you know what I mean? I can close my eyes and just imagine I was still there. But he had the place lit up, you know what I mean? If you go on with Gary Halpin, you know whether you want to be second fiddle, but nobody would ever take on that man, you know what I mean? And to hear of his passing today is just awful. It kind of brings back the whole Axel thing again, and unfortunately, it's a shame that I'd be talking to, including Poppy there, I was talking to the amount of players today and players that we would have played with, and you know what I mean? And it just brings the whole thing back again. But very sad. Similar to Axel, another good man gone, and no doubt way too young.
Phil Danaher said, Mick, when you were in his company, you were happier. And I think we got a glimpse of that in that clip that we played. I mean, I don't think you could be too downbeat around that kind of energy. What are your stronger memories of being in the Irish team with them?
Well, I suppose he was the right lad to have around the Irish team, and when, particularly in the early days, and Poppy was there as well from the 90s on. It wasn't the most I suppose, successful time in Irish rugby. And we did, I remember we were on the tour of New Zealand, and you know, we got a few hidings, and we had a few good games. But, you know, like, there was times when, you know, you come off the pitch and you'd be wrecked, and you know, we probably would have played after getting a hiding. But there was one game, Poppy, you might remember this. I think it could have been the second test, but, you know, we were inside the dressing room, and like, we were just shattered, and New Zealand were after putting 60 points on us. You know what I mean? Somebody had to say something, and Gary turned around and said, "My God, lads, there's some rugby men." You know what I mean? It just broke the silence. You know, if anybody else said it, they would have been killed. Gary had that way of getting away with it. And by God, it was the importance of the Irish team back then, because, as I said, and Poppy will say, we weren't that bad, and we had some great wins, but Gary was a very important part of that team. And it probably wasn't for his benefit, to be honest.
Gallop, I was talking to Noisy Noel there probably about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, and listen, let's be honest, the most unsuccessful period in Irish rugby was the 10 years we were stuck in it. And that's probably fact.
Yeah.
But I think when we went over to New Zealand, was that a 9 or 10 week tour?
Yeah, yeah.
And to be basically away from home for 9 or 10 weeks in one of the most miserable bloody countries in the world, amongst probably the most miserable people in the world, which grand, whatever. But, you know, it's just horrendous. And to be able to literally have a match, be hooked, have a few scoops in the dressing room, get on a bus, have a sing song, and, you know, I can still see it. Gary, get up to the bus, and Gary would be up there, and he'd have us in stitches, and that was it. All ready for the next training session the next morning, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably, as you know, he was the unofficial star of the tour, but, like, it wasn't on the pitch. What he did off the pitch was very important to all of us. But, you know, what a character. I was looking up, I actually met him 2 weeks ago, you know what I mean? And, like, he's in Kilkenny, I'm in Kilkenny, but, like nothing changed. And I was with two friends of mine, and I said to Gary, to the story that Cameron repeated on radio, where Gary, tell him about the time, such and such. And he had the two boys in Knott, and, like, they'd never met him before. And I think that just summed it up for me, you know what I mean? A great last memory to have of him, great last opportunity to just meet him and have the crack once more. And I think anybody, and you mentioned about Philip Danaher, you mentioned about anybody who was lucky enough to be in his presence ever would come away feeling better about themselves.
Yeah, 100%. And I had a... I tell you, I rang him last week because Frano had been on to me saying, listen, you know, we're going to have a 30-year reunion for the second World Cup. And I said, oh, geez, that sounds like a good idea. And we yarned anyway. And I ended up, I rang Gary because I think it was Gary's birthday last week, was it?
It could have been, yeah, because I know he's older than me, but he's just 55, as far as I know. Yeah,
yeah. I think it was last. So I rang him up to say happy birthday. And then, as usual, 45 minutes later, and you just laugh. I mean, at our age, you don't laugh. You know what I mean? It's everything's so bloody serious. And you just... It was like schoolboy stuff. And, you know, you can't repeat what you were talking about. But it was back when you were 25 or 22 and you were stuck in some dive in downtown Chicago doing whatever. And, no, it's just, you know, you always came away feeling better and just saying, you know something, why don't I ring that chap?
Yeah,
every other week, because he just cheered you up. He was better than any bloody antidepressant tablet. And I think this is important too today. It's easy to be sunken, but he'd be looking down at us saying, listen, lads, get on with it, you know what I mean? And have a laugh, you know, don't you dare all. I mean, Shane Byrne rang me this morning, don't know what time it was, 8 o'clock, 4 to 8. And I saw the call coming through, so I blocked it because every time Shane rings, he's looking for something. So after 3 times, then I picked it up and he said, listen.
Yeah.
Did you hear the news? And I said, nope. He said, Gary passed away. And I said, oh, geez. And I'd say I cried for an hour.
Yeah.
And that's it now. So I'm going to just get on with it. So, but no, every time, you know, the phone call is just larger than life. People always say, when somebody dies, no one says a horrible thing. But genuinely, you couldn't say a bad thing about Gary. Genuinely. He was just... Jesus, you know, he always picked you up. He always, you know, if there was somebody there in a corner on their own, he'd be over there bringing them into a conversation. You know, he's just one of a kind, you know.
Certainly.
How did you hear, Mick?
Let's not be too morose either, you know.
No,
yeah,
I hear you.
No, I heard this morning. I was at home, and actually, my wife Joan heard about it, and you know, she said it to me, and I, as I was picking up my phone, yeah, I saw all the missed calls from people that wouldn't usually ring you early in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew
what was early in the morning, Gollum, about 11:30.
Ah, it was about 6, Papa. You know yourself. No, it was about 8. Quarter past 8. But no, it was just awful. You know, and it's just, you know, because Gary, even though Gary spent a lot of time, I suppose, away from I suppose home and Kilkenny, because he went to Rockwell first, then he was in the UK, then he was in Athletics, he was in New York, but the people around Kilkenny have a great time for him, you know what I mean? And they'd often ask me, how's Gary, did you see him lately? And of course he's been living here the last number of years, even though he was working in Roscrea, but my God, it's just, he's just a huge, huge loss. And I suppose, particularly as Poppy said, to fellas that would have played with him back in the day, and it's always good to have a connection and, you know, to think back on happier times and better times, but it's certainly, when all of us are getting older and we're trying to put the pieces together, certainly Gary would be a big loss out of that, because, you know, 90% of the stories revolved around him, you know, and if we're ever lucky enough when this pandemic is over to have a few reunions, we'll certainly be regaining great stories about Gary, and that's something I'm really looking forward to, but unfortunately he won't be there to enjoy it.
I hadn't fully appreciated, Nick, to the extent to which he was the centre of the fun and games, the heartbeat of the team off the pitch in many ways.
Yeah, and you know what, and you know what we loved over the last number of years, Pop, you did a few of them as well, the Legends matches, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't go and play the Legends matches to get hurt, and to you know what I mean? Okay, look, it was a great cause, let me get one thing straight, it was for the injured players, just, but God, the main reason we went there was just for the crack and the catch-up, and particularly for like Gary, you know what I mean?
But Nick, you talking about the Legends matches or the Internationals?
What's that?
You talking about the Legends matches or the Internationals?
Oh, no, the Legends matches, of course, the Legends matches. But what I loved about it was the younger fellas maybe just had finished playing and they never came across Gary before, and they're looking at him and they're saying, is this fella for real, like, you know what I mean? And then they can see a bit of the, I suppose, the old school, and Gary was, yeah, like the rest of us probably, Gary was around the start of the professional game, but he certainly had the old school attitude, and he certainly had the you know, the game was when the game was over, the game was over, and then it was time to mix with your mates. And I think maybe
let's be honest, he was a tough player.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Oh, my God, he was tough as hell.
Oh, God, he was a great chap, and he was this. But by Jesus, you know, no better man. I know. Probably second
to Glow. He wouldn't last to be a poppy. You know the way fellas now are running into rocks, and God, they can't even, they have to watch every step. Gary would launch himself from 50 yards. You know what I mean? he certainly wouldn't survive at the moment.
But even when we were training, Gollum, in those days, you'd be training, and you know, the Irish sessions, they were tough, but every time either yourself, Gary, or me were on the ground and somebody was going over you just automatically stood on him. Just a kind of reminding shock that, listen, you know, we're with you.
And again, it was kind of childish stuff, because you'd stand in a fella, and like, if somebody's standing you, and you weren't around, you weren't allowed to scream, you know what I mean? And you weren't allowed to give up. But you had a license to go back at them, which made it great, you know what I mean?
Obviously talented, Nick. I mean, if he's competing at the World Championships in the hammer throw, and then is an Irish international at 2 World Cups...
Yeah, well, I think I was in a little school called Newtown in Waterford, and Gary at the time was in Rockwell, and I know we played hockey there, and he played rugby, and he was, I think he was on Irish schools, Gollum, wasn't he? Probably for 1 or 2 years.
He was Irish schools as well. Yeah, we'll say Lindeneen and all those lads. Yeah, he was certainly Irish schools. Yeah,
but and you know, so he was an athlete. Jesus, he could, you know. You'd be doing star jumps, and I'd probably be, myself and Mick would probably be just about be able to put a bit of paper between your feet and the ground. And Gary was, you know, he was flexible when we didn't even know what flexible meant, because he had a huge amount of training.
He was on a scholarship in America, Jim, but like he was there in New York with one of those big clubs or whatever.
Yeah, he trained with your one, what you call her, sorry. Sonia O'Sullivan, I think, and himself were in the same college.
Yeah, they could have been around the same time, yeah, certainly.
That's the first time Sonia O'Sullivan's been referred to as your one, but anyway.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I think so, yeah.
So listen, lads, I guess it's such a lovely, genuine, warm tribute you've paid him. I get a sense, Nick, as well, you've got a nice bond, that 90s group, that 90s crew, you're friendly.
Well, I think it was a very lonely time in Irish rugby. Like, literally, you were heading away from home for... And let's be honest with you, there was a few people decided they wouldn't travel to the likes of New Zealand for whatever, 9 or 10 weeks. And, you know, I'm not talking That's about right. anyone in particular, Frano. But, you know, it was...
Frano, yeah.
But it was grim. It was because, say, like, it was a time of the year when it was wet and we, you know.
But Bobby, it was as you say, it was hard at the time, but it was great to look back on it now. And, you know, I have said, geez, at least we did it. And then we were there. And we might have been
successful. Oh, no, it was brilliant.
We have the memories.
At the end, we nearly beat New Zealand. We nearly beat, I suppose, Absolutely. Australia as well. We nearly beat New Zealand in the first test out there.
Unfortunately,
I think the ref started looking at himself and saying, lads, what am I doing wrong here? This isn't going to script. And, you know, and I'm not going to get my two-week holiday. So, bing, bing. So, I don't know. But, you know, a strong bugger. Because, obviously, I think when you're a prop, I'm, as a loosehead prop, totally reliant on, obviously... You're totally reliant on the other side because you can be as good as you like.
Don't forget the engine room, you know.
I was going to say that, Golub, yeah. No, in fairness, yeah. It was like, with Golub behind you, it was like sitting in a comfortable armchair. You never had to do anything.
Okay.
But, it's just...
Sad day overall.
You just can't, yeah.
Whatever about us, I suppose it's Carl and his kids, his three kids and his...
Last week, I think Bentley just got engaged.
That's right.
So you had Leonie Lenkins. I just, you know, absolutely distraught.
Yeah.
You know, how do you even?
No, devastation. Condolences to all, and thanks, fellas, for coming on. I know it's a tough day to come on and talk about it when it's so fresh. Nick Popwell, Mick Galway, thanks very much, gents.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Cheers. Keith Wood is with us. Was listening in. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm under the circumstances. I'm better than you guys. A sad day for all of you. It's very clear.
Yeah, it's very sad. Hard to process. It's not the sort of call you want to have first thing in the morning. They say there's no good call late at night or early in the morning. And Bentley, Gary's son, called me about 6:30 this morning. As a young fella, he's a class act. But anyway, so we were both crying at first thing this morning, having a conversation over it. And it's just sad. It's hard to process. And you're just down with the whole idea that that there's a sadness. There's a fairly large hole missing in the earth at the moment. I mean, the boys were talking about him as... For fun, he was the best stand-up comic I knew. He was truly, truly side-splittingly funny when he got the chance. The second he got it, and he had the chance all the time because he took over the microphone. And our relationship, like I started at the time the guys were talking, so I got into the squad in 92 and Gary had been in there, I think, for about a year beforehand. And he took me under his wing and... the amount of crack that we ended up having, the amount of fun we had was extraordinary, truly extraordinary. Mm.
Did your London years coincide?
Absolutely. And like, it's funny, I think my memories of Gary go back to sitting on the bench for Ireland and Terry Kingston getting injured in one of the games, and Parc des Princes were playing France, and I had to run down and warm up at the side of the field and nearly puked on the side of the field because Gary had been force-feeding me jellies for the whole first half. And I just, like, silly things like that all the way. And when I went to London in 96, Gabriel Fulcher moved in with me, and he was playing in London Irish. So Gary would come in constantly. And so my life pretty much started with my love of movies started with those two lads, because we forever looked through every single movie, watched it four or five times, became total geeks for the ins and outs of all the big mafia movies back in the day. And it was just fun, always. It was just always energy. And then he joined Quinns from London Irish. He'd wear my jersey, I'd wear his. He'd be getting a bollocking. And he'd say he really loved wearing my jersey because they didn't give out to me as much as they give out to him. So it just... we spent a huge amount of time together. So as families, we did always. And they moved over to Ross Grey over the last few years. And he took up as housemaster in Ross Grey College. So that's only 40 minutes away. So again, it was great to see them all again. I haven't seen Bentley in a while, but I'd seen Leonie and Lenke and, of course, Carl. And they'd zip down on his motorbike, call in for tea and we hadn't seen them obviously since lockdown, but we saw them before the lockdown. And, you know, it was great because we were getting to see him every couple of months now. And it's just a shame. It's a shame for, you think there's an awful lot more life to live and he doesn't get that chance. And I think Poppy said it in there about get-togethers again. Well, we'll have them without him, which is the shame. But he'll always be remembered within it. And today has been interesting, and my phone has been going constantly for guys from all the way around the world, that people that would have known him would have a soft spot for him, guys he played with and against. And it's just been, it's been interesting because he doesn't get the sort of recognition that all the players would give him and where they would hold him in their hearts. And it's partly because he worked, like he was such a worker. So he worked from school to school. I slagged him. Look, our whole relationship was slagging. So I slagged him constantly. He slagged me back constantly. I described him as my hero recently, and he thought I was taking the Mickey out of him. But he had literally done everything he could and went to all the great schools, taught in the great schools, rugby, housemaster, all the best things he could possibly do for his kids, and did a fantastic job with them. So he was in the Oratory in Reading, he was in Christ College in Brecon, and then back over here to give them a flavour of Ireland, you know. So, look, it's just, he had too much joy, life, energy for it to suddenly be extinguished today. So it is very sad.
Right. I didn't realise you were that close. It's far more of a friendship than a teammate.
Yeah, I mean, we were teammates. Of course we were. And we played in Quinns together, which was, like, it's just wonderful. And it's funny, Golov was talking about the sense of what you need. You always need a joker in the team. And you always need a guy who'll put a smile on your face, because you can't feel the weight of a loss. And in Ireland in the 90s, we were losing all the time. For times in Quinns, we had a couple of bad years. You have a guy that can suddenly lift the mood of everybody within 5 minutes was fantastic. But we were like constantly in and around each other. While I was in London, because I was living there, him and Simon Gagan and Jim Staples were all thick as thieves. Frano, who the guys are slagging off there, Frano and himself were unbelievably close. And he'd always keep in touch. And he was great, great friends with Gabriel Fulcher. So, again, that was one of the calls. Gabriel lives in Canada, and trying to make certain that he knew before reading it on the news or something this morning became important. But and the guys were talking about him in rugby. He was so fast for such a big man. His hit in the scrum was incredible because he was a power athlete. And I have a feeling he won the senior world championships 2 or 3 years ago. I think I have that in my head that he won it. He said he did anyway, if he hadn't. But no, I think he did. Look, I have 100 memories of him. I'm bald because of Gary, not because I wanted to follow him, but he shaved my hair off the first time and he kind of went whoops as he shaved the big line down the centre of my head. Well, we can't stop there. We have to get the rest of it off. So, I mean, he was just, there was a huge amount of fun with it. Like, we often got mistaken for each other. My wedding photograph, so he was at my wedding when we got married in England in Oakham. And the front page of the Rutland Times was a picture of Gary Halpin. And they thought it was me. So We had that forever, and it was, you know, it's just, it was always great. It was always great fun. I mean, I have loads of stories. I have a video I need to try and find and send it to them of him trying to catch a chicken in my garden. It was about the funniest thing I've ever seen. We were all sitting on the ground crying, watching him, because he was, look, he brought joy wherever he was. That's for certain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a tribute all on its own, isn't it? John O'Sullivan in the Irish Times was writing about him today, and he was talking about Halpin, the teacher as well, you know, and John writes that his pupils were intrigued to know that Halpin featured in Jonah Lomu Rugby, PlayStation's first ever rugby game. And Gary admitted, interestingly, and the kids showed this to me, one of the hardest things in the game is to try and get me to score a try. They've had various competitions to try and get me over the line. If they manage it and they have proof on replay, I gave them a present. I suspect he was a nice teacher.
Look, sure, he was just a barrel of fun. So, and it didn't matter where he was, you'd always get a phone call. You need to come and talk to the kids, or will you bring somebody else to talk to the kids? Or it didn't matter what school he was in, we'd end up going down there, you know, and everybody would do it immediately. The second you were asked by Gary, you'd go and do it, because like, he was never really looking for anything. And it was just his joy of, I think the joy of seeing young kids kind of grow up and compete in sport and all that sort of stuff was just part of what he was and part of what Carl was. And like they've worked together for quite a while, and Carl is also teaching in Ross Gray, you know, and she was a cracking athlete in her day. So, look, there was always a sense of sport and a sense of teaching. That was what he was about. Mm-hmm. He was, and class act. And like I love the crack we used to have with the kids. So. And we, again, you don't see them as much as you do, and you're growing up and you have to try and bring up your own kids and everything. It's where you interact and when you can. And it just, I think for me, it just shows, and that's why it makes it so hard in COVID, that you can't be giving them a big bear hug, and you can't, like you can't go to the funeral, and you're trying to figure out what's the appropriate thing to do. And I mean, the appropriate thing to do is to talk about them and to miss him and to talk to the family, you know, whenever you can, and pick up the phone whenever you can. So it's, look, it's hard. I just think there's just a large Gary-sized hole in the world after it, you know. Mm.
Well, look, condolences to all. Thanks so much for coming on. I'm sure it's not a lot of fun to come on today and talk about it, but thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers, Joe.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.